Thank you for coming, for the good singing, the good reading, and the good prayer. We have visitors with us, and we thank you so much for being with us. I'm directing your attention this morning to the words of our Savior in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe also in God, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." That's the reading of John chapter 14, the first four verses. Multitudes of people down through the years have found comfort in those words spoken by our Lord. I want to suggest to you, first of all, the fact that hearts are troubled. The Lord recognized that circumstances arise which do trouble the hearts of men and women. His own heart was troubled at times. We find his heart being troubled at the death of a loved one in the book of John chapter 11, when we read of the death of Lazarus. It is said in John 11 and verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping," that's Mary, "and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit," listen, "and was troubled." Yes, he was troubled at the loss of a loved one. And in the book of John in chapter 12 and in verse 27, I find he was troubled concerning his own death when he spoke about his death, and he said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." He is also troubled about his betrayal in John chapter 13 and in verse 21, when he spoke of Judas betraying him, when Jesus had thus said he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And so Jesus knew very well about troubled hearts, as he was troubled in spirit from time to time. Particularly on this occasion in John 14, when the Lord uttered these words, it would have been easy for the disciples to have been troubled in heart, wouldn't it? We look back at chapter 13 and the conversation that our Lord had with his disciples. He denounced that one of them would betray him in verses 21 and 22. When he uttered the words that one of you shall betray me, no doubt they were troubled when the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. And that was shown to be Judas in verse 26 when Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And verse 30 reports, "He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night." Not only would they have been troubled over this announcement of a betrayer and Jesus' betrayal, but also the fact that Jesus would depart from them. In verse 33, Jesus said, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." That had been troubling, wouldn't it? To think of Jesus departing from them, leaving them. But also, they could have been troubled in heart because of the fact that Jesus made it known that Peter would deny him. In verse 36, you remember where Simon said, "Lord, whither goest thou?" And Jesus said, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." And Peter said, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." And Jesus answered, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." And so Jesus experienced a troubled heart. He knew what that felt like. And he recognized that because of things that had been said in his conversation with them, that there was the temptation for their hearts to be troubled. Trouble comes to every heart. In the book of Job, in chapter 14 and verse 1, it is said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. There are all kinds of problems and difficulties that exist in this world and such trouble the heart. And so you and I would do well to remember the words of Jesus when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I believe that the message that follows and the statement of our Lord provides comfort to troubled hearts. And I'd like to suggest to us some things along that line in the remainder of our study. I suggest to you that one thing that can bring comfort to a troubled heart is faith in God. He said, "You believe in God." You might underscore those words, "believe in God." In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the writer said, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I would do well to remember that regardless of what happens to me, that God is in control. Yes, God is the ultimate authority. He is the all-powerful being. He is the one that brought all things into existence by his word. And he is in complete control of this universe. There may be times when it seems that things are spinning out of control, that my world is tossed upside down, but God is in control. As revealed in Revelation 4, God is on his throne, and as set forth in the book of Daniel chapter 4, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. I must remember God is in control. And faith in God will help me to remember the fact that God loves me. In John 3 and verse 16, the golden text of the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Paul pointed out in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest and ultimate demonstration of God's love for you and for me is in the sending of his only begotten Son into the world. As John reported in 1 John 4 and verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." As much as God is in control and God loves me, God watches over me. I need to remember that. My faith in God will help me to remember that God watches over me. As the psalmist said in Psalm 139 and verse 3, I need to remember that God is well acquainted with me, that he is acquainted with all my ways. Hebrews 4 and verse 13 reports, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. The very hairs of my head are all numbered." Matthew 10 and in verse 30. And Paul revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that God will not suffer me to be tempted above what I am able. I need to remember that today. When my heart is troubled, when I face evil, I would do well to remember that God is able to bring good out of evil. Remember all of the evil that befell Joseph. And there were things that were meant to be evil, but God was able to bring triumph out of tragedy. And he can work in his providence to bring good out of evil, as he did in that case in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 20. I would do well to remember, as I think about my faith in God, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to his power that worketh in me, as Paul penned in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Remember that God will not leave me nor forsake me, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. As Jesus said, "Believe in God." Remember, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46 and verse 1. I like these words in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 when he said, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God. God is in control. God loves you. God is watching over you. God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. God is able to bring good out of the evil, out of the adversity, out of the bad that you are experiencing. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. God will not leave you or forsake you. God will be your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And he knows you when you trust in him. But in addition to that, notice Jesus said in John chapter 14, And in verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. Not only does faith in God bring comfort to troubled hearts, so does faith in Jesus. In John chapter 5 and in verse 23, the Lord said that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And so as we honor the Father, we honor the Son. As we have faith in God the Father, we have faith in Jesus. In John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Remember and recall the words of Jesus to Martha at the passing of Lazarus in John 11:25 and 26, when He declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Think about our faith in Jesus. Our faith in Jesus will help us to remember that Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That he was tempted in all points like as we are. Not only was he the Son of God, but the Son of man. And he experienced life as a man, God manifest in the flesh. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Not only is he touched with the feeling of my infirmities, but it is through him that I have blessed assurance. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul preached to the men of Athens at Mars Hill, he talked about the fact that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. What a blessed assurance that is through Jesus that we're able to sing about. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Later in John chapter 14, Jesus would declare in verse 27, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My faith in Jesus causes me to remember the fact that Jesus gives peace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, when Paul wrote to the saints at Rome, he said, Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2 and verse 14, Paul spoke of Christ Jesus and said, For He is our peace. Peace is made possible through His blood. Colossians 1:20 says, And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Without the blood of Christ, we will be without peace. Our hearts would not have that comfort. But because of Christ, the fact that He came, that He lived, that He died, that He shed His blood, and through the blood of His cross, we can have peace. The Apostle Paul was able to pen these words to the church at Philippi in chapter 4 and in verse 7, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so as Jesus said, Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Through him you have assurance, and through him you have peace. But then a third thing that I call to our attention is not only are we comforted by our faith in God and our faith in Jesus, but also our hope in heaven. Jesus followed that statement with this declaration: "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." One of the beautiful songs in this book encourages us to look away from the cross to the glittering crown. "From your cares, weary one, look away. There's a home for the soul where no sorrow can come, and where pleasures will never decay. Look away. From your cares, weary one, look away." Look away. How about looking away to an empty mansion? Song number 392 suggests, "Here I labor and toil as I look for a home, just an humble abode among men, while in heaven a mansion is waiting for me and a gentle voice pleading, come in. Ever thankful am I that my Savior and Lord promised unto the weary sweet rest. Nothing more could I ask than a mansion above, there to live with the saved and the blessed. When my labor and toiling have ended below, and my hands shall lie folded in rest, I'll exchange this old home for a mansion up there, and invite the archangel as guest. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me, at the end of life's troublesome way. And I know that the Savior will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion, someday. The hope of heaven is the greatest possible comfort I know of to a troubled heart." In Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 5, the apostle spoke of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, "Our conversation," that is our citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior," the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham recognized that here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. He looked for a city. Oh, he looked for a place where there was a permanent dwelling. And that's the idea behind that use that the Lord made of the word mansions. Mansions in the Father's house. Permanent dwelling places. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 9, "By faith he," that is Abraham, "sojourned in the land of promise," as in a strange country. Yes, we're sojourners. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. "Dwelling in tents or tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked, didn't he?" What did he look for? "A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You and I would do well to look away. Look away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 17, Paul said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In comparison to the weight of eternal glory, Paul considered his affliction as light. And when he compares the eternal aspect of that glory with his suffering, he called it but for a moment. A moment. And he said in chapter 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In my Father's house are many mansions," Jesus said. And if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, you believe that too, don't you? You believe that with all your heart. You take comfort from that thought of there being hope of heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I read where saints in the first century were greatly rejoicing in the hope of heaven. Though at that time they were in heaviness through manifold temptations. Listen to these words. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. That is, our hope is not a dead hope, it's a living hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the resurrection of Jesus that gives life to our hope. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What a blessing to have a reservation like that. A reservation in heaven. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now listen to these words. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. They were rejoicing in hope. In hope of that inheritance. In hope of heaven. Though he said now for a season, for a temporary time, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. They were in heaviness, but even in their heaviness, they were rejoicing in hope, weren't they? They were rejoicing in hope. And as they were able to rejoice in hope of heaven through their trials and their temptations, you and I can comfort our troubled hearts. Reminding ourselves of our hope in heaven. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 19, hope is described as an anchor of the soul. Anchor of the soul. And when trouble comes, it's easy for us to be tossed, isn't it? To be tossed, to be moved about. Just like being upon a body of water in a sailing vessel and the winds blow and the waves begin to toss. And it's easy to be tossed, isn't it? Through the tumultuous times of life. But it's the anchor that we need. It's something that we can hold on to. And it's our hope. It's our hope. Anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. You see, the hope that's laid up for us in heaven enables us to endure the darkness of the night, the pain of our sufferings, and the emptiness of our loneliness. As Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Through faith in God, through faith in Jesus, and through our hope of heaven, we can endure the storms of life. As Jesus uttered those words, Thomas saith unto him in verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is our way. He is the only way. Through the troubles of life, out of our problem of sin, our only way to the Father. No man, he said, no man. And you're not an exception to that, neither am I. Cometh unto the Father, but by me. That's why in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter was able to say, neither is there salvation in any other. No other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Salvation is in Christ. He is the Savior. The Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he's given us the plan whereby we can be saved. And we can have that hope of heaven. Through hearing the Word of God, believing it with all of our heart, making the changes that His Word calls upon us to make, to repent of our sins, to do as the Bible teaches, to confess Him before men, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's no greater truth you can confess or acknowledge. And He said that if you'll confess Him before men, He'll confess you before the Father. Has He done that for you yet? Have you confessed Him before men? Matthew 10:32. Would you join with others and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Would you make that pledge of allegiance today? If you've not already. And then would you put him on in baptism? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. That's got to be our motto. That's got to be the disposition of our heart. Not my way. have thine own way. That was what Saul had, wasn't it? That was his thought when he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I believe as he lay on that road to Damascus, that was his motivation. Have thine own way, Lord. The will of the Lord be done. Have thine own way. What wilt thou have me to do? He said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And in the city he is told, arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins. Arise and be baptized. And he did that immediately. Acts 9 tells us, Acts 9, 18. He did that immediately. Immediately he was baptized. Why? Have thine own way, Lord. And that's the disposition that you and I need to have today. If you've not obeyed the gospel, why not now? Why not take advantage of this opportunity? Bring peace to your heart. Peace with God that passeth all understanding. To know that your sins have been forgiven and they will be forgotten by the Lord. He said, I remember them no more. No more. No more. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not been what you need to be. That's troubling. It's troubling. It troubles the heart to think that my life's not right with God. My life's not right. And I need to get it right. I need to make things right with God. Remember in Acts 8, when after Simon was baptized, he was told, your heart is not right. Not right in the sight of God. He's told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Have thine own way, Lord. What did he say? Pray to the Lord for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Would you say that? Maybe you realize that you're in the gall of bitterness, the bond of iniquity, and you need to repent of some things. You need to ask for God's forgiveness. Would you say, pray for me? We'll be happy to do that. And think about the peace that brings to your heart. When you're troubled over the fact that you need to repent and you need to make your life right with God, be troubled about that no more. Take the steps that are necessary. Let us assist you today making your life right with God. Why not now? Let the Lord have His way with you as we stand and sing the song.